Tune in for Weekend Talk That Matters, only on KFNX.
Nessun Dorma from the opera Turandot, I Will Conquer, I Will Conquer. Welcome to Healthy Vision, the talk radio show to help you conquer your vision loss. Dr. Edward Kondrat is a board-certified ophthalmologist and homeopathic doctor, author of four best-selling books. Healthy Vision is dedicated to bringing you the latest information for a lifetime of healthy sight and to help you conquer your eye problems. And now, your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat.
Welcome to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and I'm here every Sunday evening to help you conquer your vision loss. And this evening we have a very interesting show. We're going to be talking about topsoil and vision. And in case you're confused and you wonder how in the world can topsoil be responsible for healthy vision, well, stay tuned and you'll find out. My special guest is Dr. Jeff Kotowski. And I met him while he was getting trained. He's certified to do the Kondrat program, and I previously mentioned on the show that I have trained over 20 integrative doctors who are now doing my program throughout the country. So if any of you are in the Minnesota area or would like to travel there, see Dr. Kotowski. He's certified to do the Kondrat program. But while he was visiting me in Florida, I was talking to him about a very interesting book I read called Topsoil and Civilization, how it correlates topsoil with the longevity of civilizations and the health of civilizations. And in this book, they studied civilizations that lasted longer than 2,000 years. And there were only three. That was the Nile Valley, Mesopotamia, and the Indus Valley, and they tried to find what were the key factors that helped those societies maintain their existence and high level of civilization, and it all correlated to the topsoil, believe it or not. So, Dr. Jeff, it's great to have you on Healthy Vision.
Glad to be here.
So, in your bio here, you have quite a medical background. You have triple board certification, the American Osteopathic Board of Neuromuscular Medicine, Osteopathic Board of Family Physicians, American Board of Holistic Medicine, and you are a topsoil expert. So it's great to have you on the show. And so how did you get interested in topsoil?
Well, topsoil is basically the name of the game when it comes to health. When we look at the body as it relates to our topsoil, which is going to be the microbiome, that lining that sits in our intestine that interfaces with Mother Earth, that topsoil really defines our health. And when you look at global health and you look at community health, the topsoil outside of our body also defines our health. So there's this interface that goes on between, you know, the earth as we think of the dirt and the microbes, but also within our own body, the microbes. I mean, the fascinating thing is we have more microbes within us than we do have cells of us, you know, on an order of 10 times, you know, the magnitude of 10 times more cells of them within us is, you know, that's a little bit mind-blowing, that concept, but it's like, who's in charge? Is it really us, or is it the environment? And when you look at topsoil itself,
you know, just so I get it clear in my mind. So what you're saying is that our intestines, and I don't know how many feet we have, but it's quite a number of feet of intestines. That is actually an external part of our body. So it's
correct.
What you're saying is it's connected to the earth.
Very much so. And so when we analyze our own health, you know, we can look at that microbiome, but the interesting thing is we can examine the health of a community by looking at the topsoil outside of our bodies, and we can predict the health or the plight of those those individuals in a region. I'm in an area in Minnesota. We have an incredibly high rate incidence of Parkinson's disease, and we believe that's really a manifestation of the change that we have done to our topsoil with the application of different chemicals in the farming practices, and this correlates. I mean, through case studies, we've had quite a bit higher incidence of Parkinson's, so there's going to be a lot of digging in deeper to see how this plays out, but we do see how that topsoil outside of our body really is a good predictor of our own internal health.
Well, I know one thing that I see in my ophthalmology practice is certainly I'm seeing more and more patients that are deficient in key minerals, especially selenium and zinc and a lot of other trace minerals. And, you know, unless we replenish those trace minerals, and of course it becomes a guessing game whenever you're putting them on nutrients and supplements. And I'm really convinced that the best way that we can obtain nutrition and minerals and things that are essential for our body is by the food we eat, not by taking vitamins, although in some cases we have to do something because people are so nutritionally deficient. But let me ask you this. So what are the changes that are taking place in the topsoil? When did these changes begin to take place in our country?
Well, you alluded in the book of topsoil that there's been changes over the millennia. And so this is a very dynamic thing. So changes is a relative term. But as it pertains to our civilization here in our country anyway, the topsoil that we've been able to measure the contents of the nutrients, we've seen just about a halving, you know, a 50% reduction in our micronutrients in the last 50 years. We have some rather novel ways of measuring this, but we have seen all the markers for desired health in the topsoil from pH to levels of the micronutrients go down dramatically to where we now think that 95% of our soil that we farm on here in the United States is not considered sufficient enough to maintain optimal health. So we do have to supplement, as you alluded to, with certain micronutrients.
And then, unfortunately, farmers now are supplementing the soil. They're not replenishing the soil in a healthy manner. They're using petrochemical fertilizers, and the soil is not like you described it. It's not a living entity. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what healthy topsoil should actually look like. What should it contain?
Yeah, so definition. So topsoil, the first, you know, 2 to 8 inches of our soil has the highest concentration of organic matter and microorganisms. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about topsoil. So when we're talking about topsoil and we want to measure how productive it can be for a plant to grow on or for animals to feed on, you know, to use as pasture in that case, we talk about pH level. So we have a desired range of the soil, and that range is anywhere between 5.8 and 6.2. We have healthy ranges of phosphorus and potassium. Those are heavily monitored in farming. We look at calcium, and the interesting thing with calcium, we talk about a cation exchange capacity. So even our body is bioenergetic, and so is the soil. So it's really an exchange of energy from organisms that are consuming the nutrients in the soil. And then we have magnesium, which is getting depleted more and more so, and manganese and zinc and copper. Now, you mentioned selenium. That's technically a little deeper. That's down in the clay. And we have to bring the selenium from the clay layer up to the top layer to get adequate levels of selenium. And we rely on worms to do that. So this is really a synergy of many different microorganisms that allow all of us to exist.
So the earthworms are necessary to produce the selenium. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they have to dive down into the clay, you know, and pick up the selenium, bring it back to the surface. Because selenium resides more in a clay type material than it does the black stuff that we think of as the topsoil, and that there's a recycling of that. And the interesting thing with some of our chemicals, Roundup in particular, glyphosate is the chemical name, it binds selenium. So we're taking selenium out of the food chain entirely. And when we start to lose earthworms because of other practices, we then have a double loss of selenium. And now we're seeing incredible rates or incidences of Alzheimer's and the Parkinson's and the ALS. A lot of these neurodegenerative processes are at a much higher incidence in certain areas where we have certain farming practices.
You know, it's kind of interesting because in the book, Topsoil of Civilization, that's exactly what he spoke about. The decline of all the great civilizations was correlated to topsoil. When the topsoil declined, the mental capacity declined. So you're listening to Healthy Vision. My guest is Dr. Jeff Kotosky. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on topsoil and vision. We'll be right back after this break.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
The Watergate of eye care. Are you receiving injections or have been advised to receive injections for wet macular degeneration? You need to read this free report now. Learn the facts of misrepresentations of injections for wet macular degeneration. Learn how national study data was manipulated. Learn about systemic side effects such as heart attacks, stomach bleeding, and strokes. Ocular side effects such as blindness, glaucoma, and cataracts. Discover how drug companies are offering payoffs and bribes to doctors. Learn about a recent study that one out of five people who receive injections will develop ocular atrophy. Learn what you can do to save your vision with safe alternative therapies. Call now for your free report. 1-800-430-9328. Don't delay. Call now for your free report on the dangers of injections and what you can do to save your vision. Call 1-800-430-9328. Call now for your free report. 1-800-430-9328.
Dr. Kondrat's latest book, Top 20 Alternative Doctors of America, gets a 5-star review. This is a book that not only allows the person to become educated in what kinds of alternative medicine are out there, but what these disciplines or therapies are and what they do to help a person who is sick. What a wealth of information. This book should be offered in every first year of medical school so that prospective doctors have the opportunity to learn how true healing takes place. The only problem I had with it, it left me wanting more. Says Dr. Edward Kondrat in the introduction, you may wonder why you haven't heard of some of these doctors. Well, these clinicians are quietly working in the trenches, helping thousands of people without the recognition of pop TV doctors or publicity. Order your book today. It's like having a private conversation with the top 20 alternative doctors of America. Learn their secrets to keep you healthy. Call 800-430-9328 to order your copy. That's 800-430-9328. Once again, 800-430-9328.
Lately, more and more nutritionists are discovering that beets are a superfood that offers powerful health and nutritional benefits. Can red beets help eye disease? Studies indicate that red beets are the richest source of dietary nitrates. It's these dietary nitrates which the body converts into nitric oxide. Nitric oxide can open up the blood vessels in the body, increasing blood flow and oxygen specifically to places that are lacking oxygen. Nitric oxide is a molecule that dilates blood vessels, allowing more oxygen and nutrients to fuel every cell in your body, including your eye. Neo40 is a patented breakthrough in nitric oxide delivery to boost the efficiency of the body's nitrate pathways so that more nitric oxide is available when and where it's needed. Each Neo40 lozenge is roughly equivalent to 6 red beets. For more information on Neo40, call 800-430-9328 or go to healingtheeye.com. That's 800-430-9328 or healingtheeye.com. You can beat eye disease now. Call 800-430-9328.
Hi, I'm Fred Hules.
And I'm Dave Martin.
Host of Automotive Know-How, heard right here on 1100 KFNX Mondays at 3 p.m.
The great people found at AutoRepairArizona.com are partnering with St. Mary's Food Bank to feed our community.
Just bring 5 cans of food and you'll get $5 off any service or repair.
Visit AutoRepairArizona.com and join us for Automotive Know-How Mondays at 3.
In Tempe, visit Elite Auto Repair, South Priest Drive, near the Tempe Autoplex. Visit AutoRepairArizona.com for the location near you.
Would you like to come on my radio show and talk about what you do? I'm Carol Blonder, the host of Networking Arizona. I created a show where you can get yourself heard by thousands of listeners. You also get a podcast of the show so you can put it on your website. Heard Tuesdays and Fridays from 3 to 5 p.m. It's a drive time, prime time show. Call me and book your spot at 602-228-4629. Get the word out about what you do. Visit my website, networkingarizona.net.
Log on and listen live. 1100KFNX.com.
Well, welcome back to Healthy Vision, and we're talking about topsoil and healthy vision. And I have to smile. A couple of years ago, I was a guest on a radio show in Montana, and I had just finished reading the book, Topsoil and Civilization, so I started to talk about that book. And then for the entire show, I had farmers calling me up with the various problems that they had, and they were asking me for advice on, regarding their farm. So I just wanted to make a comment in the book that they discovered that three things were essential for longevity of a civilization and for the topsoil to continue to maintain its nutritional health. And that was one, it had to be a flat area, because if you do have hills, you have erosion and loss of topsoil. So number one, it had to be flat. Number two, there had to be a constant source of water, so it had to be near a river. And the third and most important thing is there had to be yearly flooding. Take, for example, the Nile River. It was a very rich river basin, had yearly flooding until they began to dam the Nile and control the water flow, and the soil declined in its nutrition and health, and consequently, the food quality declined. And I think we can see this correlation with our Mississippi River Valley. At one time, it was the richest soil in the United States, and now because we're controlling the flow of the Mississippi and damming, and we're not seeing the yearly flooding, we're getting a decline. Of course, there's many other reasons with Monsanto, artificial fertilizers, et cetera. But Dr. Kozelski, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the difference between organic and non-organic commercial soil. What is the difference, and why is it so important to have natural organic ways of revitalizing the soil?
Well, it kind of goes along to preservation of a life form. If we're doing commercial farming, we're really trying to maximize the yield to get the most out of that land, to get a maximum yield on usually a single crop. And a lot of times it'll be just one or two crops that'll be rotated back and forth. So what transpires to make that happen is we have to use a lot of chemicals to encourage the yields to be maximized, and in so doing, when we're really pushing those plants to grow so fast and to have such an abundance of fruit and their end product, we end up compromising the soil because we more or less burn it out. We cannot keep up with the demand, and when we don't have a rotation of crops, we lose the ability to trap certain nutrients back into the soil again. The soil plays a key role in absorbing carbon and filtering water. So with organic farming, the essence is that we get more carbon reabsorption. So the less carbon absorbed, the world gets hotter, we get, the global warming, all of that other stuff is really secondary to the soil erosion. And so with organic farming, we take note of how we cycle different crops, that are planted from year to year so that we can maximize the replenishment. And the replenishment is key. So it's the pH, it's those micronutrients that we talked about previously. And with organic farming, we try to minimize exposure and sometimes eliminate exposure to chemicals. And we try to minimize any, genetically modified organisms on the soil itself, because we want the plants themselves to be part of this ecosystem that's part of a long-term sustainable method.
When I was in Phoenix, the most important aspect of my garden was the compost pile, because, we have a lot of hard soil in Phoenix, the caliche. And it took me about 5 years putting everything back into the soil. Every bit of vegetative waste I put back into my garden. I had a chicken coop, and all the chicken manure went back into the garden. I even bought some earthworms, and I put them in the garden. And so over time, I probably had the healthiest soil that you can imagine. And it was alive. It was moist. It was loosely packed. You could just see the life in the soil, the worms and the richness. And I probably had one of the best gardens that I ever had in Phoenix because of all the sunlight. And then it was interesting. I had a patient that was a professor of agriculture at Penn State University. And he told me one of the best things that you can do in terms of re-fortifying the soil. He said, Nick, when you go to a restaurant and you're getting crab legs or lobster, take the shells out, grind them up, and put them back into your compost pile, because then you're getting a lot of these trace minerals from the ocean, and you're putting them into your garden in a more natural way. So do you have any comments on the compost pile?
Well, the compost pile really accelerates the replenishment cycle. Now, this is interesting. Replenishing our topsoil, I mean, it literally takes several hundred years, and some say up to 1,000 years, to get an adequate topsoil established. So when we have an erosion rate that is phenomenal, you know, relative to how much topsoil we have, we see that we're not going to be sustainable. So composting, to me, seems essential if we're going to have any kind of sustainable topsoil for future generations 40, 50, 60 years down the road. Now, composting itself is something you get to see. Just like you said, it's alive, it's breathing, it's real. And it's the same kind of thing when you see the wild. You see animals that are living in the wild, you know, speaking of eyes, right? You look into a wolf's eyes, and then you look into a domesticated dog's eyes. The difference between a wild and a domesticated dog, if you will, is when you pierce into those eyes of a wolf, they're looking back at you, and they're seeing something in you. You know, the domesticated dogs, it's almost an apathetic thing. They don't want to look in the eye even. And that's by nature, too, but they won't look you in the eye. But that's because the wolf gets to participate in a food chain that's alive. The poor dogs, the domesticated dogs, they're eating processed foods. And you've seen that. I mean, Ed, I would say, you know, being an ophthalmologist, I mean, you can tell when somebody's alive just by looking in their eyes.
Well, it's interesting. We can look inside the retina, and I can tell the content of healthy fruits and vegetables that they have. There's something called the macula lutea, and it's like a little yellow spot in the center of the macula. And you look inside the eye that somebody has an extremely healthy diet that has vitality and they're vibrant, their macula lutea shimmers. It glows. It's alive. And then when you look at somebody that's older, they have poor diet, poor nutrition, there's a dullness there. And that's one of the best ways that we can really evaluate the effectiveness of the diet. Folks, you're listening to Healthy Vision. And when we come back, I'd like to open up the phone lines, because hopefully you'll have some questions to Dr. Jeff or myself on what I consider is a very important topic. You can reach us at 602-277-KFNX or 602-277-5369 and toll free 866-536-1100. Once again, 866-536-1100. And when we come back, I want to talk to Dr. Jeff about what steps we can take to take care of these nutritional deficiencies. Number one, how do we evaluate these nutritional deficiencies? And second, what can we do? So these are very, very important topics. And the longer I practice alternative medicine, the more I'm convinced that the key to good health and good vision is your diet. You are what you eat, and food is our best medicine. So we're going to explore what steps you can take to restore your health and to restore your vision. So the lines will be open when we come back, 602-277-5369. or toll-free 866-536-1100. And we'll be right back after this break.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Dave Perkins.
We've avoided another mass casualty attack against the United States. We did capture bin Laden. We did capture an awful lot of the senior guys of Al-Qaeda who were responsible for that attack on 9/11.
Vice President Dick Cheney appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, vigorously defending intelligence actions, choices, and decisions by leadership after 9/11, despite last week's showy report from Senator Feinstein.
I'd do it again in a minute.
And Cromnibus to become law. The Blaze Radio's Greg Moore.
A massive spending bill on its way to President Obama's desk after getting final passage by the Senate. The vote was 56 to 40. The bipartisan legislation funding most of the federal government through September of next year and avoids another government shutdown. The House approved the more than $1 trillion measure Thursday night.
No need to panic, citizens. Michelle Obama's school lunch program fully funded by Cromnibus. Just when we thought all Americans rescued from North Korea, another one sneaks in. The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
An American citizen denounces the U.S. after sneaking into North Korea and declaring his loyalty to communist ideologies. Arturo Martinez issuing a statement Sunday surrounded by North Korean media in which he denounces American foreign policy, elections, and the economic system. He also says he plans to seek asylum in Venezuela. His family in El Paso, Texas, tells CNN Martinez is very intelligent, but has mental issues and suffers from bipolar disorder.
And U.S. Navy sailors suspected of watching secret videos recorded on board a submarine of female shipmates undressing and showering. The scandal, exposed by the Navy Times, putting a crimp in the Navy's gender integration effort begun 4 years ago. At least one sailor implicated in producing them. 11 others suspected of viewing the tapes without reporting it to their commanders. I'm Dave Perkins. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center for tonight, Unity Party Cloudy with a low of 38. Monday should be a partly sunny day, our high 66. We'll have mostly cloudy conditions Monday night with a low of 42. We'll have a partly sunny Tuesday with a high of 66. There's a 5 in 10 chance of showers on Wednesday with a high of 59. I'm Rod Tanner from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 60 degrees.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
The Watergate of Eye Care. Are you receiving injections or have been advised to receive injections for wet macular degeneration? You need to read this free report now. Learn the facts of misrepresentations of injections for wet macular degeneration. Learn how national study data was manipulated. Learn about systemic side effects such as heart attacks, stomach bleeding, and strokes. Ocular side effects such as blindness, glaucoma, and cataracts. Discover how drug companies are offering payoffs and bribes to doctors. Learn about a recent study that one out of five people who receive injections will develop ocular atrophy. Learn what you can do to save your vision with safe alternative therapies. Call now for your free report. 1-800-430-9328. Don't delay. Call now for your free report on the dangers of injections and what you can do to save your vision. Call 1-800-430-9328. Call now for your free report. 1-800-430-9328.
Call Dr. Condrit for a personal consultation. Dr. Condrit is a leading alternative eye doctor, author of three best-selling books, and host of Healthy Vision Talk Radio. Call for your personal consultation with Dr. Condrit to learn what alternative therapies can help you. Take this important step today to improve your vision. Call 1-800-430-9328. That number again, 1-800-430-9328.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Welcome back to Healthy Vision, and we're talking about topsoil and healthy vision. An interesting combination, but it is essential. Topsoil is essential for healthy eyesight. And Jeff, I just wanted to thank you so much for, you know, taking the training to get certified for the Condrop program, because We really need an integrative doctor like yourself in the Minnesota area to be able to handle patients who are interested in going through my program. And also, I'm especially pleased and excited because you have such a strong background and interest in nutrition, which I feel is key in helping folks become stronger and help them reverse serious eye problems. So let's talk a little bit about your approach in evaluating patients to come to you. The first thing is, when do you suspect that there's a nutritional deficiency, or do you just assume that everybody you see has a nutritional deficiency?
Well, anytime there's a vitality issue for a client, you know, if it's poor sleep, if it's energy, poor focus, there's a nutritional insufficiency that may be subtle. The more obvious ones are, you know, when they present with heart disease and cancer and arthritis, Alzheimer's, you know, end-stage diseases, all of them have nutritional insufficiencies. But really, our youngsters that are performing poorly in school, they can't focus, or a young child who's kind of sickly, recurrent ear infections, asthma, rash, things like that, those are all nutritional insufficiencies. So
your way of evaluating them when they come into your office.
Yeah, so an individual coming into the office, first of all, we don't have a set protocol. So what we do is we look at everybody as an individual. So they're a microcosm of the bigger ecosystem. So we got to look at each individual really on a one-on-one basis, where we're looking at any of the major drivers of health to see if there's any imbalance there. When I say that, in particular, I'm referencing some functional medicine things like the endocrine system or the gut or musculoskeletal or other structural issues. And so we want to pinpoint where the imbalance is. And I'll do micronutrient testing on a vast majority of the clients, and we'll actually assess nutrition through a variety of ways. A simple way is a blood test. We can actually take the blood, and through white blood cell analysis, we can get a snapshot of a longer period of their nutritional status, and we can figure out what micronutrients they may be insufficient in. And the interesting thing with looking at a nutrient panel, when you have a large number of micronutrients you're looking at, you can see patterns. And so you can tell if somebody has protein absorption issues or digestion issues, or if they have an imbalance of their bacteria, if their B vitamins are low. You can put all these trends in a bit of a puzzle, and you'll start to see this puzzle play out, and you'll get a bigger picture to help define that person's imbalance.
Well, maybe you could define micronutrients. Are you just talking about vitamins and minerals, or?
Yeah, so basically micronutrients, so all your B vitamins and your fat-soluble vitamins, your minerals, some of your essential fatty acids, your amino acids, antioxidants. So in total, that's 33 different items I just mentioned. So those are the micronutrients I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, your carbohydrate content. I'm not talking about your total fat, but the things that make up those individual macromolecules. And so the cofactors and the vitamins is what we're kind of looking at.
And I'm just curious, is this something that you get routinely, or is it just on select individuals?
Oh, no, we run this on the vast majority of our clients. So to me, I really believe that our disease processes that we manifest, you know, when somebody comes into the office, is really a function of too many toxins or too little nutrients. So if we have too many toxins, you want to find out what toxicity is driving the imbalance. Or if they're nutritionally depleted, we want to find out which key nutrients are they not processing so we can help replenish that. So once we restore that balance, health ensues, vitality is restored. And it's rather simplistic, but it seems to me to make the most sense when really turning around disease processes in an individual.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the results of this micronutrient test when you start to evaluate more eye patients. You know, will there be a trend with macular degeneration and glaucoma and cataracts? Because I know in my experience, I almost always see elevated heavy metals in folks with eye problems, in particular lead. And, you know, you just need to get rid of the lead. You need to get rid of the lead and the mercury before many of these micronutrients are properly utilized by the body. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you evaluate patients for heavy metals. Do you do it routinely, or do you just do it in select patients?
Well, with heavy metals, I do it through a variety of ways, but we always try to get a clue with where their toxic load is. And unfortunately, I would say the vast majority of the clients that we do see have a rather significant load of toxicants, be it mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic. Those are the main four we see, but we'll see some other heavy metals also driving a disease process. And so I'll do provocative testing, you know, where I'll give them a chelating agent, and we'll try to see what kind of toxic release they'll have. And so we'll measure urine. Sometimes you can do hair sampling. You could also do it through pattern recognition with these micronutrient testing, because you can see mineral imbalances. You can see improper zinc-copper ratios. You can see an abnormally low manganese. And so you can get really good clues just from the micronutrient testing. But I will say this, you can also get really good clues just from doing a clinical exam. And with the clinical exam for nutrition, it's very basic, and it was interesting. JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, published an article on the doctor's skills for assessing health. And basically they said that doctors are suffering from a type of, I don't want to say disease, but it was published in JAMA, so you can almost call it a disease. But doctors have hyposkilia. They don't have sufficient skills to assess nutritional insufficiencies. And so we need the clinical exam kind of retaught to us so that we can pick up on these things, because it is as simple as putting, you know, an ophthalmoscope to the eye or assessing a fingernail or touching the skin. You can pick up some of these nutritional deficiencies and toxicities with just a simple clinical exam.
I can remember years ago in medical school, we were taught to examine, I mean, chapters were written just on an analysis of the nail, looking at the tongue, you know, the skin, the hair, the eyebrows. And unfortunately now physicians don't, many of them don't even touch a patient. They just look at the lab data and make an assessment and diagnosis and treatment.
Yeah, that's another topic. But, you know, basically, you know, the technology has moved on so fast that where do you put the emphasis, you know, in educating? You know, is it how to read an MRI report, or is it how to touch and examine a patient, you know? So we miss out on a lot just from a clinical exam perspective.
Okay, and I'm curious is to then, what steps you take once you determine the micronutrient pattern, once you determine do they have any heavy metals, what is your treatment approach? Do you do a lot of IV nutritional supplements? Do you counsel them on diets and regaining that nutritional state? What's your approach?
Well, just to kind of walk through the doors in our clinic here, you'll see something a little bit different. We actually have a little mini grocery store of organic foods available. So we want people to realize that they're not in a typical, you know, doctor's office where prescriptions are going to be the norm. Our norm is that we do counsel them on dietary interventions. So we do a lot of detoxing. So we do that with certain protocols, using amino acids, recommending saunas. We also recommend elimination diets a lot of times up front for an individual to kind of pick up on any food sensitivities they may have. And then we specifically address the micronutrient insufficiencies. If they're severely insufficient, we do a lot of IV therapies, you know, for those people, because we do see a rather sick crowd. And so intravenous solutions of nutrients are oftentimes given. And we try to individualize that. We don't really have, you know, a pet or a favorite protocol that we use for that. We really try to help the individual with the deficiencies they have. So we don't want to throw them out of balance. And so a lot of people will walk out of the door with a prescription for a new diet and then some therapeutic intervention such as the IVs.
Well, we're coming up to another break, and you really made a great comment about the importance of individualizing the treatments. There was a published article in one of the ophthalmology journals that showed there was a subset of patients who actually do worse with a generic antioxidant formula. So I think we really start to have to look at what components are we giving patients. So you're listening to Healthy Vision. My guest is Dr. Jeff Kulkowski, and we're going to be talking more about topsoil and vision when we come back after this break.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
The Watergate of Eye Care. Are you receiving injections or have been advised to receive injections for a wet macular degeneration? You need to read this free report now. Learn the facts of misrepresentations of injections for wet macular degeneration. Learn how national study data was manipulated. Learn about systemic side effects such as heart attacks, stomach bleeding, and strokes. Ocular side effects such as blindness, glaucoma, and cataracts. Discover how drug companies are offering payoffs and bribes to doctors. Learn about a recent study that one out of five people who receive injections will develop ocular atrophy. Learn what you can do to save your vision with safe alternative therapies. Call now for your free report. 1-800-430-9328. Don't delay. Call now for your free report on the dangers of injections and what you can do to save your vision. Call 1-800-430-9328. Call now for your free report. 1-800-430-9328.
Get started with MCS. Want to learn more about microcurrent and how it can improve your health? Many alternative doctors feel that microcurrent treatment is a safe and effective way to change your body's energy to relieve pain and stimulate healing. It is now known that electrical activity occurs at the cellular level and that there is deficient electrical activity around areas of disease, such as tumors, inflammation, or areas of poor blood flow. Disease is a lack of electrons. Let microcurrent put them back into your body. We are now offering a two-day training workshop for the public on how microcurrent can benefit you. This course will teach you the basics to begin using microcurrent for yourself and your family. This program will be held at the American Medical College of Homeopathy in Phoenix, Arizona, and the Florida Wellness Center. Please call the office at 800-430-9328 for more information. That number again, 800-430-9328. Get started on using microcurrent now. Call this number, 800-430-9328. Learn more about microcurrent and how it can improve your health. Call 800-430-9328.
Dr. Kondrat's latest book, Top 20 Alternative Doctors of America, gets a 5-star review. This is a book that not only allows the person to become educated in what kinds of alternative medicine are out there, but what these disciplines or therapies are and what they do to help a person who is sick. What a wealth of information. This book should be offered in every first year of medical school so that prospective doctors have the opportunity to learn how true healing takes place. The only problem I had with it, it left me wanting more. Says Dr. Edward Kondrat in the introduction, you may wonder why you haven't heard of some of these doctors. Well, these clinicians are quietly working in the trenches, helping thousands of people without the recognition of pop TV doctors or publicity. Order your book today. It's like having a private conversation with the top 20 alternative doctors of America. Learn their secrets to keep you healthy. Call 800-430-9328 to order your copy. That's 800-430-9328. Once again, 800-430-9328.
I'm Amy McClure, owner of A&M Mechanical. When my customers have no heating or cooling in their homes, my service trucks have to be ready to respond. So we rely on National Automotive Repair. They keep our entire fleet up and running all year long. Of course, we also trust National Automotive Repair with our personal vehicles, too. My company strives on providing service with integrity, so I choose an automotive repair shop that does, too. I trust National Automotive Repair to care for all my vehicles. I can rely on them to be honest, timely, and fair with every visit. You, too, can trust National Automotive Repair. They will care for all of your vehicle servicing needs.
Hi, I'm Randy from National Automotive Repair. National Automotive Repair has been in business since 1997, and I built this business on the basics of honesty and integrity. NAR is an independently owned Napa Auto Care Center. We are also an ASC Blue Seal of Excellence shop. We have always been rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Give us a call at 602-978-3278, 602-978-3278, or visit us at narepair.com.
Visit us online at 1100kfnx.com.
Welcome back to Health Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat. This is going to be the last segment this evening. So I do want to share with you the name of the book. It's called Topsoil and Civilization, and the authors are Vernon Gill Carter and Tom Deal. It's a wonderful book. And also, Dr. Jeff, maybe if you could share with us your office phone number and your website, so in case people want more information or they want to contact you, those people who live in the Minnesota area, for the contract program.
Yeah, our website is BetweenTheBridgesHealingCenters.com, and our phone number is 507-388-7488. And you can contact the office via the website and set up appointments via patient portals once you register.
And you can also call our office at 800-430-9328, and we can give you all of Dr. Gutowski's information. And his information is also on my website, healingvi.com, or one word, healingvi.com. So, Jeff, I wonder if you could finish talking about your approach to treating these nutritional deficiencies.
Yeah, so another, you know, in particular with the eyes, I want to talk a little bit, you know, more on glaucoma and maybe macular degeneration and touch upon cataracts a little bit. But when we're evaluating the health of individuals, you know, and we do pick up, for instance, a glaucoma, or the person comes into our office with glaucoma, I'm going to look at the role of allergy, you know, food allergies in that individual. And oftentimes we'll find that if this person has a so-called idiopathic glaucoma, that there is an underlying immune dysfunction, and a lot of times it's triggered by a food allergy, and we'll find that that food allergy is oftentimes related to insufficient digestive enzymes or low stomach acid, hydrochloric acid. So a lot of our intervention with a glaucoma patient is just getting them on a very strict diet so that we get these people off the foods that they're responding to in an adverse way. So we'll do specific testing to pick that up. We'll do blood testing to pick up food allergies and sensitivities. And then we'll get them on nutritional supplementation to include vitamin C and magnesium in general. And most of these people will also get different forms of essential fatty acids. And we do give them some herbals, maybe ginkgo biloba. And we do find a fair amount of people with, especially chronic open-angle glaucoma, have hypothyroidism. So we'll explore that with them.
Yeah, it's interesting your observation with allergies, because you know, when you think about an allergic reaction, you do get swelling of the tissue, and certainly inside the eye, if you get swelling of the trabecular meshwork, you're going to have a problem with the outflow of the fluid in the eye, which will cause an increase in pressure. So it does make sense, and I kind of like that approach, looking for the allergies and then treating them with the proper foods to reduce those allergies.
Yeah, and then I found with age-related macular degeneration, though, that those individuals tended to have a poor diet. They were eating the wrong kind of fat, and they weren't getting the right kind of fat. And so they had all the other manifestations that you would expect with somebody with hyperlipidemia and the coronary vessel disease, too. So macular degeneration type protocols that we use would be similar to what we do for our cardiac patients, but we would use some specific nutrients. You know, the lutein and the zeaxanthin would definitely assist those individuals. And then the micronutrients, and magnesium is big, but so is selenium and zinc with these individuals. And then antioxidants are important too. Vitamin E is at the top of the list. Beta-carotene, of course. But macular degeneration, I've also found that they respond well to glutathione. So we'll oftentimes use glutathione treatments, and sometimes it'll be liposomal, which will be a form of glutathione that has a fat molecule around it so it's absorbed better. Or we'll actually use intravenous solutions of glutathione, and we might inject every 4 months for maintenance if we get somebody's macular degeneration stable. And then we'll also use things to assist the repair process. So here we go into the adrenals. We'll talk about DHEA, not DHA, the fat, but epiandrosterone, the steroid that can help with regeneration. And so the CADRA program that I took training in will also have many other things available, very specific bioenergetics that we can apply via laser or microcurrent, and then we get to use very specific IV protocols as well. So this is going to be exciting to give them a more complete program than just treating it with a nutrient said.
Well, no, I really like your approach. You're really strong in evaluating the nutritional deficiencies, the allergies, and, you know, putting them on the right food and nutrients. And I think that's going to be key, because if you don't have the right building blocks in the body, then there's really no hope for the body to heal and repair itself. I do feel that the body has the ability to heal itself, but if you're lacking the right nutrients. Now, one of the biggest problems in the elderly is poor absorption and assimilation. So how do you address this? Because many elderly people are taking good nutrients. They're just not being absorbed.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting question, because there's many different approaches. One, you could just assume the elderly are low with their hydrochloric acid. And so supplementing them with hydrochloric acid and then perhaps some proteolytic enzymes. And then the other side to that is, you know, why are they deficient, you know, in those digestive molecules? And one of the thoughts is that maybe they have parasites. So then you can go exploring the individual for parasites, and you might have some ileocecal manifestation with parasites. And that's going to oftentimes drive the hydrochloric acid down. So then you correct that, and then lo and behold, their nutrient status improves. So there's always two sides to the story on how you can approach it with any kind of illness. You can either give more nutrients, or you can get rid of the toxins, in this case, the parasites. So it's always...
Well, I like the way, Jeff, we've gone full circle. We're coming back to the gut and the topsoil.
Yep.
They may have parasites in the gut and problems in the gut. So maybe we have a couple minutes left, and do you want to talk a little bit more about how important the gut is?
Well, how important it is, you know, we're starting to just touch the surface. I mean, there's a new periodical. It's relatively new to physicians, but it's called Genome, you know, studying the genetics and all the different changes and how it can relate to health. But this article or this present journal, this month's journal of Genome, on the cover it has food as medicine. So we have come full circle all the way around, Ed. This is incredible. Because food as medicine, we're now understanding little things like hormesis, how we can connect all these little energies, you know, be it in the food or the bacteria, the antioxidants, the light, all these things together is what manifests health. And so there's not going to be one thing that's going to allow us to maintain an optimal vitality. It's going to be many things. And this one drug for one problem kind of mindset is really kind of passe, in a sense, because we have moved into another era of medicine to where we understand this connectivity.
Yeah, well, we're coming up to a close on Healthy Vision. And Dr. Kotowski, thank you so much for taking time to share with us all this great information. Folks, you're listening to Healthy Vision, and this is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat. Until next Sunday, wishing all of you good health and clear vision.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. Suddenly, these husbands and dads are thrust onto battlefields where the fate of everything they care about will be decided. In the meantime, they must await the outcome in someone else's home this holiday season. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend. Chances are I've described someone that you count among your friends. Be sure to remember him this season. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Call Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's